What is your thought pattern? Do you think like that? The last time we was here, I sat down on John Wesley's daddy's grave.
Join the crowd.
Yeah, I sat down on it. He stood up and preached on it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I said, Lord, do it again.
Amen.
Do it again. Smith Wigglesworth.
Oh, yes.
I want to tell you some things. Get out of this stupid thinking.
Yeah.
And begin. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to get detoured, but I must tell you this. In Genesis, the King James Version is so screwed up. Honestly, hear God, who is omniscient. He knows everything. Can you believe that?
Amen.
Come on, how many of you know that God knows everything?
Amen.
And that there's nothing hid from Him?
No.
Yet it says that God, walking in the cool of the day in the garden, and He said, King James, Adam, who art thou? Now, how stupid to even record something like that. You mean God didn't know where He was? Come on. We've fallen right in the same stupidity. You always telling God what you need, you don't think He knows?
Right.
Huh? Get out of it. My God will supply your every need.
That's right. Yes.
But do you believe it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Well, for Him to do that, you have to create a need.
That's right.
Yeah.
No need, no supply.
Okay, now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Come on, saints. If you don't create a need, there's no supply.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I've got faith. Evidently you don't. You're afraid to step out and create a need.
Okay.
The two places in the Bible that God asked that question, according to King James. When Elijah went in a cave.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? The same. Listen. In Genesis and in Kings, same meaning. Why have you positioned yourself thus? And it all hinges on you positioning yourself in the right position. Well, hallelujah. And instead of doing that, you're always whimpering and whining. Well. I'm giving you a word tonight that will change your life if you will practice it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. And for God to be in need, He cannot be God.
That's right.
And if I am a child of God, I cannot be in need.
Amen.
Neither can you. Well, I'm awful careful that I don't get in need. Why? I'll supply your every need. According to my riches. He ain't going to even touch yours.
Right.
He's going to let you use yours as you want to.
Amen.
But I'm going to do it through my part. Hallelujah.
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 Glory, glory.
Now we have to position ourselves that way. Well, how many of you married men have heard your wife, "We can't do that"? I'm not down on the women, no, because they, man, without the women, we wouldn't even have a church.
That's true.
And anybody in the kingdom knows that David gave the same portion to both man and woman. They got the same anointing as men got. And then he said, there's no male nor female in Christ, bond or free, Jew or Greek, there's no difference. In him, everybody's the same. Praise God. But you and I have got to come to the place that we will not allow ourselves to position us in any shape or form outside of victory in the Word. It has to be victory in the Word. Praise God. Now, as we look into the Word, God uses that word "said" 10 times in the first chapter. And the reason 10 times, he used the same expression twice. 9 times, 9 is the finalist number. Oh, hallelujah. So when God said, "It's finished," and "very good," everything was finished from the creation, even your life.
Amen.
Everything that pertains to your life was written in the books.
Amen.
And in John 19 and 30, he said, "It's finished." Hallelujah. He bowed his head on the cross and said, "It's finished." You've got to follow that thought all the way through the Bible. Oh, hallelujah. You remember when Joseph brought his two boys to Jacob to be blessed?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? He was very careful to put Manasseh in his divine placement. And Ephraim in his place. And so, man had placed them where he wanted them. But when Jacob reached out to bless and lay hands on them, he crossed his arm. Oh, that's beautiful. The cross blots out man's intention. Blots it out.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we're sitting here in Britain, dissensus from that boy.
Hallelujah.
And we in America, our descendants from Ephraim. Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
Ephraim was 13th tribe. America, and 13 is the number of rebellion. And we rebelled against England and taxes and worshiped Perth. And started our nation off with 13 stars, 13 colonies. Oh, glory. And 13 is the number of rebellion. We rebelled against bondage. And there's 13 13s on our dollar bill. Hallelujah. And as we go down, we are being developed, neighbor, into the perfect manifestation of Christ in the earth.
Amen.
We have to come to that conclusion. What is predestination? It's preordained. It's something that cannot be changed. You haven't heard this preached. The sonship message died out a few years ago because people didn't understand it. Our dear brother Britton, Bill Britton, good friend of mine, we came into this message same time. We sat on the far escape in Atlanta, Georgia, in an international convention, talking about what God was intention of doing and was doing. The preachers got mad at us and wouldn't let us preach and isolate us. But I want to tell you something. They're about all gone.
That's right.
And we're still here.
Praise the Lord.
Brother Carl McIntyre, I don't know whether you'll ever remember him or not, international radio preacher. I was in a conference one time with him. He turned around. He's preaching that communism was going to take over the world. He turned around to me and said, "Brother McCurry, do you agree with that?" I said, "No, sir, I don't." So he called his workers and they escorted me out of the building. Well, he's done gone over. I saw communism fall.
He never did, right?
Oh, he didn't see it. Oh, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, there's not going to be one world ruler in this universe. God has reserved that for his son. Well, you mean you don't believe in an Antichrist? How can you have an Antichrist if you got the real one?
Exactly.
Well, the Antichrist is between your ears. And the reason it's there is because traditions have tried to replace Christ with some Antichrist. Well, praise God.
Amen.
Neighbor, look up tonight. We are in the process of becoming.
Hallelujah.
We are in the process of becoming.
Yeah.
Oh, glory.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Don't try to get persuaded by some intellectual minister. It won't explain. One world government, one ruler, it's never going to happen. It'll never happen until our Lord and Savior comes back. And he's not coming back till you get up and do your job. Hallelujah. Sitting here wanting somebody else to do your job and you get paid for it. Every last one of you has got a job to do. Well, amen. It's not just out passing out tracts or having a television program, but it's one-on-one. The greatest sermons Jesus ever preached was to one individual. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he had to do things that he knew the disciples would not agree with. For example, he knew a Samaritan woman was coming to the well.
Yes, he did.
And he knew the disciples wouldn't understand him talking to a woman with that kind of a character. So he sends them to town to get victuals for himself and for them. She comes to draw water. And he had to make the first move. Give me to drink. She said, how is it? That's the age-old question. You being a Jew, me a Samaritan, and knowing we don't have no dealings one with the other. He said, but lady, if you knew who it was talking to you, and if you would ask me for water, I'd give you water that you would never thirst again.
Amen.
She said, give me this water. Now she's done something. He said, we'll call your husband. I have no husband. Jesus said, you've told the truth. You have had five. And the one you're living with now is not your husband. That makes six. When the Lord showed me this, I like to have a camp meeting. He has told her she has had six. And the sixth one is not your husband. Oh, glory. But she didn't realize the seventh one was sitting on the well talking to her. Oh, hallelujah. You need to realize you can't have a substitute. And that's what's hindering the church right now is a mixture. You can't mix the Spirit with anything.
Amen.
You can't mix this spiritual move with shouting, talking in tongues, dancing, singing. You can't do it. But you can just move into it quietly and allow Him to rule and reign in your life and let Him develop the Christ that's being formed within you.
Amen.
Well, glory to God. There's no end to what I'm talking about.
Come on.
It just mushrooms.
Yes.
From one glory to the other glory.
Hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah. And I just feel in my spirit tonight that God wants to be manifested in you and me.
Yes. Amen.
And He wants you and I, oh hallelujah, to let the rivers flow out of us.
Amen.
And you get into that river and just flow with the flow. And the first thing you know, the mountains been moved. The mountain's still there, but you being moved down. Not too long ago, I was up in northern Minnesota, and I stepped over the Mississippi River at the head of it. Started just in a little spring branch, and I stepped over it. And that's where the Bible said, despise not the dear small thing, but just let it roll. Let it roll. And you get down to Memphis and let's see you step over it. And when you get down to New Orleans, you can't tell the Mississippi River from the ocean. That's where we're headed.
Yeah.
It starts off with a new birth. Right. And just keeps on flowing. And if you let it flow, hallelujah, you'll become so much like God, you can't tell the difference in God in you. Preachers are preaching against this. You can't be like God. Well, God said we could. I said God said we could. Well, I just don't believe it. Okay. Take your disbelief. Go on down the road. I'm going to still believe what God said.
Hallelujah.
And what we really need, I like this, and I'm going to unplug, not getting through, just unplug. We have to have a living word from God.
Amen.
Why? Let me show you why. You've all got imagination created by the thought pattern. Some of them is a malfunction because your thought pattern was wrong. But it's going to take a living word. How many of you know that the Lord appeared to Zechariah while he was doing a priestly job and said, "You're going to have a son"? And he didn't like the name that Gabriel had told him to name. And his name would be called John. And Zechariah had no kin folks by that name. And he didn't like that. See, you don't like to cross your denomination or leave it. But God has called you to come out.
Amen.
Come out of her, my people. Well, why aren't they doing it? Well, they don't have nowhere to go to get in something better. So Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. And John, now you don't misunderstand me, he wasn't dead. He was lying dormant in Elizabeth's womb, waiting, just like you are. How many of you got a dream? How many of you's got a promise that God has promised you? Come on.
Yes.
Now, if you don't have a promise that God has promised you, I'm going to pray for you. But the promise is not activated. But when Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word," and she went into the hill country. And the Bible said that the hills is going to skip. Now, I didn't realize this. Timmy preached last Sunday about the word dancing. John the Baptist leaped in Mary's or in Elizabeth's womb. But that same dancing in the hills, dancing is the same word as leap. Oh, hallelujah. And he went on to tell us how many words through the Bible that meant the same thing. But so Mary becomes the Word of God.
That's right.
She becomes the Word of God. When she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." Well, she went into the hill country and went up into a city of Judah. And she saluted Elizabeth and told her about the salutations of herself. And when she did, the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb and was filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm about to tell you? Those promises that you have lying dormant in you. You haven't realized any of them coming true, and you haven't felt any realization of it. But if you will hear a word from God, that promise will begin to leap in you. You will be stirred. Glory to God. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months until her time was accomplished. Praise God. I don't know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, how many of you are hearing what I'm saying? And what the world is waiting on is a generation to rise up and become the Word of God and speak to those promises and let them begin to leap up within people and to be stirred, hallelujah, until God can manifest Himself in the earth. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Spirit, I feel the Spirit speaking to me. How much was our offering, Pastor?
We're $1,900 short. Yeah, £1,300.
How many short are you?
$1,900.
$1,900. I want 18 people to stand up and give $100 with me. No ifs and ands about it. We're just going to do it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Three more. 17. Hallelujah. Seven, two more is all I need. My Father. And so I said, well, what do you want to reach all the budget tonight for? Oh, the Lord wants to do something else. Rest the
service.
One more. Praise the Lord. I felt this. All right. That's the 19. Now, did that hurt your spirit? If it did, I want to preach his funeral. Now, I've got one more thing that I must do. The Lord told me week before last when he appeared into the room with me. He said to me, son, there is an anointing that's not being practiced. What do you want to do? You want to come and put it in my hand? Just come and put it in my hand. I'm not going to keep it. I'm going to give it to the pastor. Praise the Lord. I tell you, God's so good, isn't he? But you're fixing to get in on something here that Jesus Christ himself told me. He said there's an anointing that's not being practiced. And that is the anointing for business. And God wants to raise up businesses that can cause the word of the Lord to go into the uttermost parts of the world. Praise God. I'm not talking about this modernistic way of evangelizing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that would be willing to go into the jungle and live like the natives live. And to eat what they eat.
Right.
And to become a part with them. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, Father, we claim your blessings on everybody that give.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, somebody said, well, he'll bless you 100-fold. Nonsense. Oh, glory to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, he says, I'm going to bless you 1,000%.
Hallelujah.
1,000%.
Amen.
Now, do you rather have 100 or 1,000? I'm asking you, how many of you?
1,000.
Well, glory to God. Don't sell yourself short.
Come on.
Don't sell yourself short. And that's unscriptural anyway, 100-fold. Read it. They're taking it out of context. If any man, having already done, left father and mother, houses and land, children, so on. I'm not trying to be funny. But he didn't mention wives and husbands. Thank God. Who in the world could put up with 1,000 wives? Or you wives, 1,000 husbands? Hello. He said that I will not restore unto him 100-fold, but he's already done it. He's not going to do it to get it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
Come on, how many of you really hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oh, glory. And get no look for just 100-fold. Look for 1,000-fold.
Hey.
All right. God has told me that this anointing must be carried out, and that is the anointing of business. And I want to anoint you with holy anointing of God tonight. I want to anoint you in a business anointing. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Which not only includes making money, but it includes in your family managements and your everyday management. Now, if you're wanting to be anointed in this, would you just stand?
Praise the Lord.
Let God arise. And his enemies be scattered. But you see, David borrowed that from Moses.
That's right.
And he didn't say Moses said it first.
No.
You have a right to claim anything you read as yours.
Amen.
And you need to learn to practice what you read.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, praise the
Hallelujah.
Lord. And then we've heard a lot about worship tonight. But worship is not what you think it is. It's not a dance. It's not a song. It's not a waving of the banners. All that's all right.
Come on.
But worship is your giving. In Genesis chapter 22, the first time worship is mentioned is where Abraham took Isaac to the mountain. He said to the servants, stay here with the stuff while I and the lad go to yonder's mountain and worship. Did he go up there to receive or to give?
Yeah.
Now that's what worship means. Giving. I know we've turned it into a lot of other things, but giving is what worship really is. And you are no more holier than you are when you are giving. Well, hallelujah. All right. If you ever learn to really worship, you turn loose what you have and receive what you have not. Well, glory. Now, we get you off of the quietness. When you go to talking about giving, it brings a quietness on people. But it's just worship in reality. Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord has been so gracious to us. A week before last, He appeared to me three times. Come into my bedroom, and I had a conversation with Him. And He, as always, tells you things that you never even thought of. We're living in one of the most glorious days that ever was. And yet people want to carry on their traditional concept of worship.
Yes.
And they think the louder they get, the more holier they are. It's not in your loudness. It's not in your dance. If Jesus Christ was to appear here tonight, or His glory comes in this room tonight, you wouldn't be dancing. You wouldn't be shouting hallelujah. You'd be on your face in awesome fear. Well, hallelujah. Now that's what I'm looking for. The glory of God to come into our midst. And when we began to realize that, it's this what is all the way through the Bible. The glory of God came into the tabernacle when Moses has finished it. Even the priest couldn't stand up and minister. And neither could you stand up if the glory of God comes into this room tonight. Now the glory is here, but not like we're expecting it. Because when it comes in the fullness, you are going to be on your face. And the world will see an expression of God they've never saw before. Well, glory to God. Could I have a mic to give to Brother Bob to read with me? Now, if you have your Bible, I would like to begin with verse 1 of Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to be sure to follow us. Are you taping this, Andrew?
Yeah.
It would be better if you would just wait and get the tape rather than take notes. because you'll miss something if you're taking notes.
Yes.
As you get the tape, you'll hear things that you didn't hear tonight.
Amen. Yes.
Well, glory.
Amen.
Now, the Bible is so beautiful. It starts off in the beginning.
Amen.
In the Hebrew, it's in the origin. And the Hebrew says, Elohim, the plurality God. Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens. They should be appeared there. Of course, our King James Version has got a conjunction. And, are you reading with me?
Amen.
And it said, He created the heavens. In other words, everything in the heavenlies are in the realms of the Spirit. He created first. And the whole creation up until that time in the spiritual realm was worshiping Him, giving glory and praise like the mist off of the ocean. And God decided right then, I want somebody tangible like I am to worship me.
Hallelujah.
Then in Ephesians 1 and 4, we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. So the world could not be created until He had called all of our names. And not only had called all of our names, but decided the dispensation we were going to be manifest in. Aren't you glad that He decided to manifest you and I in the 21st century?
Amen, yes.
Where we could witness the climax of all things that was prophesied and foretold. And so after He had chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, Revelation 13 and 8 says that Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. Now, sin didn't slip up on God.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
God never had to change His plan from A to B.
Amen.
That's right.
It's been A all the way through.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God's never had to change. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the Lord thy God that changeth not. But yet, His methods change.
Right.
He's dealing with the people today different from when He's ever dealt with people before. And what we are experiencing now is a new thing.
Yes.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, and what I'm talking about, a new thing,
yeah.
He endorsed it in the book of Isaiah, 43rd chapter. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Oh, hallelujah. And you and I that's living in this hour are seeing a new thing. Now, I know, and you know also, that there has been many visitations. Now, 35th chapter of Isaiah tells you every one of them. And the last one says that He is going to do, well, hallelujah, a new thing, or I'm going to show you a high way, higher than anything that you've ever saw before. Not just a highway for vehicles, to travel on, propelled by petrol or so on, but a vehicle. That's what he made the church. The church is a vehicle to bring you into this highway or the kingdom of God, which is entirely spirit. If it's not spirit, it's not kingdom.
Amen.
Well,
hallelujah.
Romans 14:17 tells you that. It's not what you eat or what you drink. Oh, hallelujah. But you see, the whole creation. Now, I was raised in under a Pentecostal environment. My mother was a Pentecostal holiness pastor. And I've known all my life external holiness. Now you're getting white on me. And external holiness is how you dress, no makeup. Well, and a lot of folks swear by that even in this hour. Then we had another visitation, and it was called charismatic. And some folks don't even believe that that's over yet. That's over. Oh, glory to God. And the charismatic move changed from the external to the internal. But they stopped. Now there's another visitation, a new thing. Oh, hallelujah. And that is being. Being what God said you are. Now you can't do that unless you come from the internal into the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. And when you move into the kingdom of God, you are becoming what God said you was. And what did he say you was? In Romans 8:29, he predestined that he'd have a people in his own image. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And when God brings a people into his own image, then he's going to manifest them to the world. All right. I'm laying the foundation. So in verse 1, God created the heavens. And then he said, a conjunction, it should be a period. And, oh hallelujah, the creation of the world. World there is not just the cosmos. It's the people that's in the world. And then, of course, verse 2.
Form and void.
Now, you know, Isaiah tells you very plain that he's never created nothing void or vain. And so does Jeremiah. Then something had to happen between verse 1 and verse 2. Now you say, well, I don't believe in that gap theory. Believe it or not, something happened. And it caused a chaos. And you and I now, in this last day, has got to turn that chaos back into what God originally created.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And so the Bible goes on to say,
and darkness was upon the face of the
deep. Now, anytime you hear that word darkness, it's the dwelling place of the devil.
Yes, yes.
Now, I won't go into that seven expressions of darkness. That is one of the most marvelous teaching you can ever get.
Right.
Breaking down the word darkness into the seven manifestations of it. One of them is ignorance.
Right.
Paul said, you're missing what God wants through the ignorance that's in you.
Right.
Amen.
And death is another one of them. Obscurity is another one of them. Well, the devil wants to obscure God in your own imagination. Well, now get down to the verse that I want to dwell with.
And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Now, I'm still in verse 2.
Yes.
The Spirit of God moved on the face of the water. The face is your face and my face in the spirit realm.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Water symbolizes the spirit. Hallelujah. You'll learn something here. If you'll learn, how many of you know Jesus said, speak to that mountain, it'll be removed.
Yeah.
You'll never see a mountain removed like that. Tell you how you get it moved. Get in the river.
Yes.
And as you go down the river, the mountain fades into the past and gets into the distance.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Mountain's still there. But you have moved in the realm of the Spirit beyond that.
Yeah.
And if you'll keep following that river, it'll bring you in to the lake or the sea, to the ocean. It keeps on getting deeper.
Amen.
Well,
hallelujah.
Now, verse 3.
And God said.
Now, anytime that God said, he had to be talking to somebody.
Amen.
I'm trying to get you to see something here. When God said, he was talking to somebody. And the somebody in this case was the devil, the Lucifer. Because he said, let. That's a kingdom word. Let there be light.
Hallelujah.
First thing God said, let there be light. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Now you may not see the picture yet, but you will. When God said, let there be light, the devil had to turn loose of the darkness.
Wonderful.
Well, hallelujah. And when the devil turned loose of the darkness, there was light.
Amen.
My Father.
Hallelujah.
And whenever you go on down and read verse 4.
And God saw the light that it was good.
And God saw the light. And it was good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Now, you see, it started off God, singular, but in a plurality extent. In chapter 2, in verse 7 or 6, he says, and the Lord God. Now God had to recognize his word.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, no, that wasn't the word. Well, read John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. So when God said, he released a portion of him that became eternal, and everything God has ever said is eternal. But I want to deal with this thought, light. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How important is light? Now, first, you've got to have a word from God.
Amen.
And if you have a word from God, it creates a light. And anytime you hear a word from God, it'll create a thought.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on.
That's right.
And when it creates a thought, hallelujah, that thought will create imagination.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on, Dad.
And when you have an imagination, it'll create a picture.
Yes.
I don't know how many of you remember, because I know some of you will. You remember the early days of the Portable camera? Huh? I'm talking about the first ones that come out. That you would snap a picture, pull it out, and have to wait with the light shining on it.
That's right.
And when you wait at the proper time, you peel it off. And it's still nothing visible.
That's right.
And but what was visible, your hands was messed up. Do you remember that? Oh, hallelujah. But in the light, you see that picture become visible. And you look at it, and you would see things you didn't see when you snapped that picture.
That's right.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So it takes light to develop the picture.
Right.
And I want you to look at this now. God has given us a word. Well.
Amen.
And that word exposed to the light. And you know God, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world.
Amen.
And you also know he said, ye are the light of the world. And you are supposed to shine until it begins to develop the imagination that the Word of God has produced.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And somebody said, well, it's going to take a miracle, a power of God. The miracle is the light.
Yes.
And the light is the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
But people have got so bogged down in their traditional beliefs, they can't separate Jesus from the Christ. They can't separate Israel from Judah.
Right.
Well, hallelujah. And Judah was a part of Israel. I don't want to get in on all this because I couldn't explain it all anyway in one service. But I am going to show you something tonight that will transform and change your very life if you'll hear it.
Amen.
A word from God creates a thought. And that thought creates imagination. And imagination creates a picture. And what God is doing in this hour is developing a people, glory, that has the picture of the Christ, the image of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be fully, the original says, King James leaves out the fully, developed in you. Well, glory. What is he doing in us today? He's developing himself, the Christ in us, the Christ that's going to be manifest into the world and going to change the world back under the original plan of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And when you and I become a manifestation, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, we're going to begin the formation into a kingdom that he can come to receive a kingdom, not to establish one. And when he receives the kingdom, he turns and gives it back to the Father that started everything. That begun everything. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord, when he appeared to me week before last, you know how God speaks to you? You think he answers. And he came into my room and said, "Thou art highly favored." I was thinking to myself, how in the world can that be? He said, "Read on. Mary said the same thing in chapter 1 of Luke. How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" He said, "Son, that's the reason you're highly favored. You're not following man's pattern. You don't know man and man's plan. You're following my spirit. And you're going to be like Mary. Be it unto me according to thy word."
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the Lord said, "Not only are you highly favored," and I said, "How can this be? And why?" Then he said, first chapter of Ephesians, and that has always been one of my favorites. Starts off, you know, Paul giving an introduction. Verse 3, "You're blessed with all spiritual blessings." Verse 4, "You're chosen in him before the foundation of the world." Oh, glory to God. Verse 5, "Being predestined."
Yes.
"To be in his image." Verse 6.
"To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in
that's
the blood."
That's the word right there. Highly praised and acceptable is the same identical words.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Now, no offense, but you know, the Catholics have made a real idol out of Mary. She didn't carry him but 9 months. You and I are carrying him through eternity.
Yes, hallelujah.
Ooh, hallelujah. And if you got him in you, you're carrying his presence throughout eternity.
Amen. Glory.
We are so highly favored tonight.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And it doesn't take money. It doesn't take fame. All he's looking for is somebody that'll just bear his name.
Yes.
And acknowledge him.
Yes.
In all things.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. And not be ashamed of him.
Amen.
And not allow man to change the pattern.
Yes.
And the workings of our God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
How many of you know that the imagination in your life has already created a picture. Oh, praise God.
Amen.
You read in the book of Acts, and how many of you have read in the book of Acts, and you don't see what was going on in Acts in the church world today? Come on, how many of you know we're not seeing what God did in Acts? Well, the question is, why not? If God is the same. I'm going to tell you why. We don't have enough of that light within us. The fullness is not in us. The devil is trying to detour you from the original pattern. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. You're to develop, oh hallelujah, the picture, the imagination is created within you. All right. Now, is the imagination that's in you according to the Word of God? I don't believe it is. You're in a house built by thoughts. And the thoughts of this house has got to have a foundation.
Yeah.
A flooring.
Yeah.
It has to have a wall on the left, a wall on the right, and a wall up in the ceiling. But there's always a light at the end of that tunnel. How many of you today have begun to see the light at the end of the tunnel? The wall on your left is a negative wall. The wall on your right is a positive wall. You have to have a negative to countercharge the positive.
Right.
If you don't, your automobile will not crank.
That's right.
Well, hallelujah. And so many of you, you feel defeated whenever the negative is outweighing the positive.
Come on.
And you're looking at the natural instead of looking at the invisible.
Yes.
Well, glory. The invisible is what you don't see with the natural eye. But with the eye of faith, glory to God, you are seeing the finished picture. Well, and that finished picture is going to reveal things that you never even saw whenever you had imagination that created that picture. Oh, glory to God. In the Hollywood system, they have what they call silent advertising. That means it's in the picture, but it's not spoken of. You see a movie, a car going down the highway, it passes a sign that says Coca-Cola. You don't even pay any attention to it. But that thought has been planted in your mind. Now that's the way the traditional church is operating in this hour. They're planting negative pictures in your mind. And they're telling you that you have to do this and have to do that. Oh, glory to God. God's not even interested in what you do. Well, hallelujah. God ain't even interested in how you dress. God's not interested in what you eat. Oh, hallelujah. We've made a whole catalog of do's and don'ts.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. It's whole.
And there's only one thing God's going to judge you by.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I have placed a destiny in you. And if you're not fulfilling your destiny, you're going to be rejected of God. And that destiny is predestined, preordained,
Amen.
That you become into the image of God.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And whenever you become into the image of God, the only way you can do that is have a word of God within you. Hallelujah. Oh, but I want the anointing. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." And also in John 1:14, the word was made flesh.
Yes.
Jesus was the word.
Yes.
And Christ is not his last name.
Yes.
Christ is the anointed.
Yes.
And when you begin to say Jesus Christ, you're saying the word anointed.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul put it another way. He said Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, glory. He said the anointed word.
Hallelujah.
And when the word becomes anointed, hallelujah, you're moving into your destiny.
Hallelujah.
And that destiny is to become in the manifestation of Christ into the universe.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And you shall become just exactly like the Word.
Yeah.
Because the Word again is being made flesh. And you are becoming the epistle of the Lord read by all men.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And it's not by what you're dressed in or what you eat or what you don't eat. Hallelujah. It's the Spirit of the living God going to be manifested in this earth.
Amen.
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. There's no getting around it, neighbor. You must become an expression of God in this earth, in this hour that we are living in right now. You are the Christ. Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when we began to realize this, my Lord, hallelujah. You began to realize that you are becoming developed.
That's right.
Oh, I've heard this misquoted so many times. You've heard it preached on so many times out of context. Isaiah chapter 9. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and to his increase there will be no end. But neighbor, he has to have a shoulder before anything can rest on it. Well, you've heard this and taught this all your life. Everybody that's born again is in the body of Christ. Not so. Not so. The Christ has to be developed in you. And then when he's developed in you, he places you with a divine placement. Oh, glory to God. And when you are placed in a divine placement by God, then the Bible declares in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, you must not break ranks. You have to walk and keep rank. Stay in your place. Don't try to be bigger than you are. Don't try to be something you're not. learn how to walk
yes.
and be submissive
yes. Yes.
in the divine placement of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Because every individual has a different function in the body of Christ. But without that divine function, without that divine placement, we wouldn't be a whole individual.
That's right.
Amen.
And everybody has a different administration. Oh, praise God. I don't have time to go into 1 Corinthians to tell you that there is a, well, there's a divine placement. We call them gifts, but it's not gifts. It's a manifestation of His Spirit.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
But it's still His Spirit.
That's right.
It's not your spirit.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
And if you lay hands on somebody and God heals them, it ain't you possessing a gift.
That's right. Yes.
The gift still belongs to Him.
That's right. That's right.
And He just saw fit to let it be manifest through you.
That's right.
Amen.
And the reason He let it be manifest through you, you have heard a word from God.
Amen.
And you are creating a thought pattern by that word. Oh, hallelujah. That thought pattern created her imagination. And imagination become a picture. And you just became, oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
You become an expression of what was taken through imagination.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Did I lose you on that one?
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory, glory.
And every one of you, we have been taught so many things that's wrong.
That's right.
I think it's really wrong. We're looking for a place with streets of gold, walls of jasper. And all of that is just a manifestation of His pureness and righteousness.
Hallelujah.
I've had great... Listen, if you are in that category, I'm not trying to belittle you. And I'm not trying to take your heaven away from you. I'm not trying to take your rapture away from you. I believe in the rapture. But I believe it in the scripture term.
Yeah.
Not like traditional preachers. Well, it don't make any sense, God, to get all the righteous folks out of this world.
Yeah.
And then be able to fill the earth with His righteousness. That don't make sense.
Yeah.
Come on, saints. But well, how does the Bible teach the rapture? Caught up to the throne, the authority of God, and then coming right back down here and doing the work. But see, you are so, well, pardon me. The church world is so lazy. They don't want to get in the battle of pulling down the strongholds. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual weaknesses in high places. Hallelujah. And I'm expecting, I was praying this afternoon and just meditating on the Word. Father, I remember reading the journals of Wesley. I remember reading the life stories of these great men that you've raised up in this area, in this country. I've dreamed of it and I've read of it and I was asking God, Lord, You are able to do it again.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Let it be.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
John Bunyan.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. Oh, neighbor, I'm expecting, even in this meeting, such a visitation of God that could cover the whole absolutely world. And history would have to repeat. And you would be recorded as being there.